Well, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. See if I can get all this electronic stuff going on here a little bit. All right. How's that? We good? All right. Well, it's good to be in Cadet Baptist Church. I speak of you and pray for you every Sunday morning and have done that for the last 15 years. I have a spiritual marker in my life, and that's 15 years ago we had an Experiencing God weekend here at the church, and God did wonderful, wonderful things. And so it's a spiritual marker in my life. And from that point on, Brother John and I, you couldn't count on one hand the time that we've missed praying together on Sunday morning. And so I'm grateful for that. God has put me on assignment this week to be here. I believe with all my heart that God appointed me to be here today. And your pastor has confirmed that, and we're here today. And so I have one purpose today, and that's to get you everybody in the building in one chair. I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 13. The Word of God says, enter in by the narrow gate. Enter in by the narrow gate. I want you to understand this morning, when it comes to salvation, God didn't just hand out salvation to anybody and everybody in that form. And even though it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, but there's a way. And because of our sins, we have been separated from God. So there has to be, somebody had to die. Jesus died on the cross at Calvary. He brought us the free gift of salvation. And it's a narrow gate. On the other side, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in thereby. And so if you were looking at it, to get a visual picture of it this morning, you could see. Verse 14 says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And listen to this thought, and there are few who find it. There are few who find it. And then he says, you will know them. They're talking about the few. You will know them by their fruits. And then verse 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Verse 16 says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Verse 17 says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bear. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He said, I never knew you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we come before you today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Lord, there's 1,000 other places that, Lord, we could be this morning, but, Lord, we chose this morning to be here in this place. And so we know, dear God, that, Lord, just by Scripture itself, that, Lord, you teach us, Lord, where two or three are gathered together in your name, Lord, then there you are. And so we're grateful and thankful. We recognize, Lord, your presence in this room today. We thank you, Lord, for that. Now, Lord, I pray to God that, Lord, we know that, Lord, it's not your will that any should perish. And so, Lord, I pray to God that this morning that, Lord, there would not be anybody leave here today. Anybody leave here today, Lord, lost and not know you, Lord, from the free pardon of sin. But Lord, I pray to God, Lord, this morning that we that are children of God, that Lord, we would bear the fruit that you intended to bear. That Lord, we would not be, doing other things or chasing after other gods and those kind of things. But Lord, we would be what you want us to be. And so Lord, I pray to God that Lord, as we set the stage, Lord, for this revival this week, Lord, I pray to God today that Lord, we would settle in our mind today. Today, we're going to make up our mind that, Lord, we're going to follow you in a revival today. And Lord, we ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I say to you this morning, I want you to pay attention this morning to these chairs that I have sitting here this morning, because each one of these chairs represents something. Everybody in this chair, everybody in this audience today represents one of these chairs. And so the first chair here this morning, listen. This is the chair that I want to talk about. This is the chair that I want at the end of the week, when God's everything said that, I want everybody in this chair. And this chair represents everybody. It represents that individual who is a child of God, sold out to God. That's who we should all be. Amen. When God saved us, everything, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And so we want everybody to be. I want everybody to be in this chair. And so let me give you some scripture this morning. In Galatians chapter 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. And so when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been crucified with him. Amen. And so, that old life and how we used to be, that's not who we are. So it's important this morning that as we start revival, that everybody be in this chair. Everybody be in this chair. Listen to what else it says. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's how we do the things that we do. That's how we live the Christian life. That's how as a church we become everything that God wants us to be, because God lives his life through us. Amen. And so we're not looking for victory, but hey, listen, we work through. We already have the victory. And it says, and the life that I live, in the flesh, by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So we need to be in this chair. Church, we need to be acting like the church of God. Amen. We need to be, listen, parents, we need to be living godly lives in front of our children. We need to be that example to them. They need to see mom and daddy praying. They need to see mom and daddy in the Word of God. And they mock that. That's the only thing. When they see mommy and daddy pray, then they want to pray. When they see them praising the Lord, they want to praise the Lord. And so it's encouraging to me when you see a mommy and daddy will come to an old-fashioned altar, Brother John, and pray. And then you see a kid just get up randomly, and they don't know where they're going. They just want to be doing what mommy and daddy do. And then that's why we need to be in this chair. If we're children of God, we need to act like that. If we're children of God, listen. The world that we live in today needs individuals who are living a true life for Christ. They're looking for answers. Listen, this world today is looking for answers, and we have that answer. And God has given that to us. So we need to be living that kind of life. Every day we need to live that kind of life. Every day, the things that we do, the places we go, and when you go to work, they should see you as being different. They should see you as being different. Different. So that's how God loves us. That's how God, he saved us. He placed us in the kingdom of God. We're no longer our own. And so we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. And so this is where we need to be. Unfortunately, our church this morning, everybody's not in this chair. Everybody's not in this chair. And so these chairs all represent a different thing. This chair this morning, represents that individual who has backslidden. Revelation talks about them. They're that person who have lost their first love. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? The child of God that you move from this seat to this seat where you Revelation, I've lost. You shall have this against you. You've lost your first love. Church, listen, it's not a time. Listen, it is not a time in American history where we need to lose our first love. We don't need that. Listen, and yet we see that again and again in our churches until we've seen that during COVID. right? I mean, maybe not here, but in Kentucky. Listen, when COVID hit, listen, our attendance in our churches cut in half. And then when you would see individuals that always had been in this first chair all their life, and one couple said to me, they've been, ever since they've been saved, been serving God, I've been working in the church and working with youth groups and doing all kinds of things. And so they were well known in the community there because they were who they were in Christ. And then COVID hit. And they moved over. And I tell you, they moved over because they lost their first love. And so when I went to them and talked to them about church and those kind of things, they said, well, Brother Chuck, we just don't do that stuff anymore. We're busy. We're busy at work. We're busy with our children. We're busy with our grandchildren. And I don't even know how we ever found time to go to Wednesday night service because it's so full for us. And it's hard to grasp. It's hard to grasp that God had brought you so far. And yet today that couple would say if you went to them, they would be at home. Or they would be with their grandchildren. Or they would be at the lake somewhere. And they filled up all their time. They filled up all their time with things of the world. And they stepped out of this chair into this chair. And then they're wondering sometimes, what's happening to our children? They're doing things. They're going places that they didn't used to go. Because you're not taking them to church. You're not teaching them the Word of God. And church, listen, our churches are getting full of people who have lost their first love. How sad in America that we've lost our first love and all that God has done for us. And so what this person in revival, and my purpose of being here is to get you out of this chair and back in the first chair where you belong. Amen. If that's you this morning, listen. That's you this morning. Just know that we have an enemy. And he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll keep doing that. Keep doing that. He can't take your salvation away from you. But he sure can rob you of the joy of your salvation. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Your children need you to be the spiritual leaders that you need to be in your home. That your people you work with need that shining light. You need that ongoing love relationship with Jesus. Don't stay here. Listen, this chair makes God sick. In Revelation it says, you know, I'd rather you be warm or cold than to be like you are. Church, we have folks in the And listen, and to have revival, we got to get out of this chair. And we got to get into this chair. Come on, church, come on. Now, this chair, let me tell you something about this chair. This is the saddest chair on the stage. Let me tell you why. Billy Graham said that there are 70% of our churches, our Southern Baptist churches, that are walking in and our churches every day that are lost, thinking they are saved. Thinking they're saved. And the scripture talks about it. You know, not the scripture says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter of the kingdom of God. You read it in our text this morning. And so they think they're saved. They think they're saved. But yet they live like the person's lost. And they want to join up. Listen, they like this person here because, listen, they've lost their first love and they've got some things in common. They don't like the first chair because of the life that they're living they're pointing directly to them and they don't like that. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. And listen, then they're not necessarily filling our churches, but listen, they think they're all right just like they are. I hear people all the time say, oh, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. Hey, listen, the scripture says it's a narrow road. And few are going to be that find it. And just having a think-so salvation, listen, never got anybody into heaven. There are folks that are dying and going out to eternity every day that they think they're saved when they're really not. They think they're saved. How sad. How sad to live through life and think that, hey, listen, I'm okay and I can live life the way that I want to, and God's okay with this and God's okay with that. Yes, just to find out that when you die and go out to eternity that you're separated from God. How sad. How sad. How sad. Hey, listen, if you're here this morning and you're here this morning and listening, and so you've been going through the motions, you don't know what it is to have an ongoing love relationship with God. You don't know what it is to open up the Word of God. Listen, church, listen. When you're in this chair, when you open up the Word of God, listen, and you read the Word of God, God speaks to you. Amen? And so when's the last time that you opened up the Word of God and God spoke to you? And in this chair, listen, God does that on a daily basis. God does that on a daily basis. And it's sad to know. It's sad to know that, listen, there's been a time in your life when God spoke to you through the Word of God, and He don't do that anymore. How sad is that? And then to think, hey, listen, I don't even need the Word of God. Hey, it's all the other people going to heaven, I'm going to. Listen, don't go to hell because somebody else is. This person in this chair thinks they're okay just like they are. And hey, listen, like, hey, I've done some wonderful things in my life. One gentleman told me, hey, listen, I paid my tithes last week and all hell broke loose in my life. Why is that, preacher? Do I just need to quit paying my tithes? No, you need to quit sinning. You know what? He said, wait. He thought that, you know, hey, listen, I can live with this lady. She can live in my house and we can be fine and those kind of things. I can pay my tithes and God won't mind. You can't continue in sin. You can't continue in sin and think God's going to bless you. This person needs to be saved. They need to recognize that. They need to recognize, listen, that just because you say you're going to heaven, that don't mean you're going to heaven. There has to be a point and a place and a time in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it changed you. And I didn't want to do the things that I used to do. Change. This person can move to this chair when he comes to accept, recognize his lostness and his need for Jesus. Amen. This chair needs to be in the chair number one. This chair needs to be saved. This chair is an individual that just knows. I have a gentleman in our church said, I know, Brother Chuck, I'm lost. I know I'm lost. And I know if I stay at that lost condition, I know that I'm going to die and go out to turn lost without Jesus. I know that. So this person is the most important person in this room this morning, because you're here and you're lost this morning. Jesus wants to save you. I apologize for this guy, for the life that he's lived in front of you. Shame on him. But I'm going to say to you this morning, quit. Don't look at those two guys. Look to Jesus. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all have come short. But whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. And see, what happens this morning when you come to recognize that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for your sins, and that narrow way is only possible for you if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But when you recognize that, and God does that in your life, see, what happens is the person in the first chair, he becomes to be burdened, especially for the guy on the end. He's lost and on his way to hell. And listen, and when God speaks to you through the Word, God speaks. Let me tell you what happened to me just this week. I was busy. Our daughter and our son-in-law had bought some property, and I was working. I was working a bobcat over there for them. And I was working this week, and I've been concerned about that guy because he always tells me, one of these days, Brother Chuck, one of these days. And then his sister-in-law called me and told me he's in the hospital, not to come right now. I always wanted to put it off. I always wanted to put it off. Don't come right now. Don't come right now. But anyway, the more that I worked that piece of equipment, God says, you need to go. You see, when you're sitting in the first chair and you're in God's will, you listen, God speaks to you. And you know who, it is that's talking to you. And you know what he's saying to you. And then there's that act of love for God that you want to be obedient to him. And so out of that, God says, you need to go to the hospital. I said, after a while. He said, no, you need to go to the hospital now. And so it's one of those times that you were busy. One of those things, hey, listen, I just need to finish up. Amen. But there's an urgency in my spirit that God says, you need to go see him. And so anyway, I did that. And so God spoke to me. And God gave me direction. And when I went to the hospital and Jimmy was sitting in the hospital bed, sitting there. And when I come into the room, he was telling me all the things that was going on to him. And then going on with him. And I said to him, and then there's that spiritual part, Jimmy. And he said to me, I know. And he always said to me, not now. Not now. Not now. And then this was on Thursday afternoon. And when I said something about the spiritual part, he said, well, I know I need to. And I said, yeah, you know, there's an urgency, Jimmy, for you to be saved today. And he said, I know, but maybe I will sometime. I said, no, today. Jimmy, he's an old man sick in the hospital. I said, you need Jesus today. And he gave me a different answer, Brother John, than he ever did before. He said to me, yes, Brother John, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. He invited Jesus Christ to come into his life in a hospital room, made his wife cry and everybody else cry. The church had been praying for him for years, years. As long as we've been here, been praying for him. He's never done anything. But anyway, but he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Listen, things change when Jesus comes into your life. Amen? Things change. Let me tell you how revival starts. Somebody comes to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Listen, they find this guy and this guy. Listen, and they're bringing them to church. That's revival, amen? And they listen, and they all three end up in the first chair. You see, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter which chair you're in. If you've lost your first love, then you need to be in the first chair. And it's that verse, that, you know, 1 John 1:9, if we just confess our sins, Lord, I've lost my first love. Lord, I'm not in the Word. Lord, I'm not praying. Lord, I'm not going to church. I'm not supporting my church. Lord, I've lost that first love. And the Scripture says you need to go back. You need to repent. Agree with God about what's wrong in your life. Ask God to forgive you for your sin and to restore the joy of your salvation. And God puts you in the first chair. Amen. And then, folks, listen. There's no reason to stay here. You're a child of God. And there's a child of God. And you need to be in the first chair. If we're going to have revival this week, we'll have to get rid of this chair. Get out of it. You got to get in the first chair. And church, listen. The sooner that we all get in the first chair, the quicker we're going to have revival. No reason for this chair. No reason for you to be here this morning and lost your first love when God is willing and able to forgive you for your sins and cleanse you from all of those unrighteous, put you back in the straight and narrow way where you need to be. This is a dangerous chair, church. Listen to me. This is a dangerous place to be. Is there any fruit in your life? The scripture that we read this morning kept saying, you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. But a gentleman in the church, been in the church all of his life, and all of his adult life, he had his name on the church roll, been baptized, was a Gideon in our community, and all those things. So he done great. He was a great man, well-liked in our community and those kinds of things. Come to church one Sunday morning, he come forward, and he bowed down. before me. He wanted me to come, and I kneeled down beside him. And he, I said, John, what's wrong? And he said, I'm lost. And I thought to myself, I heard him wrong. Now, what'd you say? He said, Brother, sir, I've lived all these years of my life. Been a Gideon, been all these things. I've never known what it's like for God to speak to me. And it wasn't until today that I recognized that what everybody else in the first year had, I didn't have. And he said, hear me clearly. I am lost and dying and on my way to hell. And I want to fix that today. And that day he was born again as a 50-some-year-old man. Accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It changed him for the rest of his life. Changed him for the rest of his life. And just recently passed away. And I know for sure that this man, because he moved out of this chair into that chair, he's in heaven today. Amen? He's in heaven today. Church, this is revival will change this guy. If we're in the first chair doing what we need to be doing, praying like we need to be praying, witnessing like we need to be witnessing, living a life on this, it'll change this guy's life. It'll change his life. When the Spirit of God begins to move like it can, it will. In the life of the church, this guy has to do something. He knows there's something wrong. He knows it's not like the guy in the first chair. And so, the Holy Spirit will do all the rest. Amen. Church, we don't need to forget the lost. We don't need to forget the lost. People that we rub shoulders with every day are lost. And so, hey, listen. Used to we'd have revivals. We'd have 2-week revivals. Some of you may remember 2-week revivals. Take a week to get the church in the first chair. And it wasn't until after the first week when the church got in the first chair, listen, then things began to happen in the second week because the church was right, they were inviting the lost folks to come. And it'd always be a great harvest of souls come to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. They're hungry, hungry. We got to be hungry for the lost. I was in Africa last year and there was 20,000 people. 20,000 people in the back of the pulpit was the back of a church. And when you begin to preach the gospel, they would come. Jesus talked about the multitudes. I'd never seen multitudes like that before. They would be. It was in the middle of summer and hot. Busyness in the marketplace. And then when you start sharing the gospel, they would start. They would just stop what they were doing and come. They'd come to you. They would be 20,000 people. 20,000 people standing in front of you and listen. Every word is amazing. It's amazing how hungry they are for the word or the lack of. And so when they come to see that, then thousands of people come to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. First, God wants to do that in America. He wants to do that in America. We've got to be concerned for the lost. Got to be. And listen. And when you're in that first chair, you will be. If you're not concerned for the lost, you're not in this chair. If you're not concerned for your church, you're not in this chair. If you're not giving your time, your talents, and all kinds of things, you're not in this chair. Now, you might be in this chair. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I'm afraid of the crowd. I'm afraid of afraid of getting sick. Afraid of saying I don't read the word anymore. And we're doing fine, just like we are. Listen, don't stay here, church. We got that revival starts when we get in this chair. And church, the question for you this morning and the end results of the end of the week. If you get in this chair, then God will send revival, Cadet Baptist Church. Listen, it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. So my question to you this morning, Brother John, my question is, do you want revival? Then let's get in the first chair. Amen. Let's get on. Let's get down to God's business and what he's doing. Now listen,
Where are you at this morning? Are you lost? Listen, God wants you to be saved. He loved you, died on the cross for your sin. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish but have everlasting. God didn't want you to perish and go to hell. He wants you to be saved. And if you're here today, listen. If you're here today, you need to be saved. God will put you in this forever first chair. Church, let's pray. And song leader, you come. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. Lord, I pray to God today that, Lord, we not see this, Lord, as just another series of meetings. That, Lord, we not see it as just another preacher coming in to town. And all of, I pray to God, Lord, we see, Lord, that listen, maybe for the first time, Lord, in our life, Lord, that we come. Lord, I want revival. Lord, I realize I can't have revival, Lord, if I've lost my first love. Or let, Lord, I just go through the motions. Or Lord, I need to be in that first chair. Lord, I pray to God today, Lord, as the Holy Spirit of God of revival comes and stirs our heart today, that Lord, we'll not be hesitant about it, Lord, that we'll say, Lord, I want in that first chair. And Lord, I pray to God, Lord, you just fill up your altars, Lord, with individuals that have been drawn by the Holy Spirit of God and said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want in that first chair, Lord. I want revival, Lord. I want you to change my life. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want in that first chair. And so, Lord, I pray, God, Lord, as we come to a song of invitation, Lord, I pray to God, Lord, we not hesitate. That, Lord, we not hesitate. That, Lord, we would all move to the first chair in the center of your life. Lord, where you want us to be, doing the thing that you want us to do. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to find revival. And we can only find it here. And Lord, without you, we're nothing. But Lord, with you, Lord, we can do all things. And so, Lord, I pray to God, Lord, you stir in this invitation this morning in a way, Lord, you've never done before. Change us, Lord. Draw us to you. And Lord, we ask all that without any doubt. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me if you will.